Your Bibles. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28 tonight. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. I will read the odd verses, and if together we can read the even verses. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I do thank you for your love for us, and thank you for the guidance that you've allowed us to have as far as being able to have the Word of God, and you've guided us through that of what we ought to do with our lives and get the gospel out. And we thank you for the report of the missionaries where they're still able to get the gospel out and be able to get the Word of God through the electronic devices, the iPad and the smartphones. And I just pray that you continue to bless there. But Lord, we need you to meet with us. We need you to speak to our hearts, and we need you to help us to be able to hear the Word of God so our faith can be increased. And Holy Spirit, please do pray that you'd help us and strengthen us today to be able to hear the word. I pray that you'll be with Preacher, fill him with your power as he brings a message to us tonight. And we'll give you honor for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, you may be seated. I want to preach a message tonight, if I can unmute myself, entitled Go. Of course, we see here in Matthew chapter 28, Christ has just risen from the dead and has made himself known to several individuals up at this point. And even I heard a message preached this week, even Thomas is known as being Thomas the Doubter. But you see here that he wasn't the only one that others did not, in verse 17, but some doubted. But we see here, Jesus gives the Great Commission. And the Great Commission first part of the Great Commission is to go. We cannot fulfill the rest of the Great Commission if we don't first go. And this is where, if predestination and Calvinism were to be a thing or a biblical thing, which it's not, Christ would have never have had to give this commandment because if God had already pre-selected who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved, then there would be no need, for the disciples to go out and to preach the gospel to each and every creature. But as you look at this, that word go, as you look at Scripture, there are several commands in which we are given that associated with the word go. And I want to just go through a few and illustrate the commands of Christ that as we go through this, of course, I only have just a few points. I don't plan on being real long, but that's because Brother Heiger got me up here in time. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to look at some Scripture tonight and try to help us understand the importance as we see some commands in Scripture that should be a part of our life or should be important to us. And I'm going to look and turn to some different Scripture. And so we're going to turn to Judges chapter 16, verse number 14, Judges 16, 14. The first thing I want to point out or illustrate to the command of Christ is power. Power. Judges chapter 6, verse number 14 says, And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Go in this thy might. You know, as we serve the Lord, we have the power of God through his word. That God has not called us to serve him and to represent him here on this earth without having power. We have the two-edged sword. We have the Word of God that that gives us the authority or gives us the power to preach in His name. And as we see, go in this thy might. Talking about the power. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." He's given us power and of love and of a sound mind. We have the power of God through His Word. As we read it, as we muse or meditate, as we memorize it, as we wash ourselves, if you would, as we try to cleanse our heart from the sin and from the flesh, as we try to live in the Spirit every day, understanding what God has for us, the blessings and the promise, that we don't allow fear to control us. As a Christian, as I said, I'm so glad I'm a Christian that every day I don't have to live in fear of knowing or wondering, is this my last day? Is this my last day here on earth? Is this what life is going to be? Is this as good as it gets? No, I get to live with the blessings and the promises of being a child of God, knowing that heaven is my home, God is my Father, and Jesus is my Savior, and He loves me and He cares for me, and each and every day is an opportunity to live for Him. That there's more to life than just going to work, coming home and living for the weekend. Well, what a shallow life that's got to that must be. But as a Christian, there's more to life than just here, even in the span of 80, 90 years, boy, that we're going to live for eternity with Jesus Christ. Well, we have been given power. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. We have power through the Holy Spirit's guiding. That as we are directed in life to know what would please the Lord, as we yield to Him, we have power to do and to be within which our own limits would fall short. But God has called us to go in His might. God has given us power. Number two, God has given us prayer. God has given us prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse number 11. I'm going to read that. 2 Chronicles 14, 11. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, is it nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power? Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Against this multitude, O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against me." As he said, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. In thy name. You know, as a Christian, we have been given power and prayer. Prayer is power. That God has given us the power of prayer. That you and I, we can go and call directly upon the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, and by our petitioning the throne of grace, we have the ear and mind and heart of God. John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son." You know, you and I, we close our prayers in Jesus' name. And it's not something we just do out of habit. It's not just a nice, pretty way to end a prayer. It's a biblical thought. It's a biblical teaching that when we go to God asking, we are undeserving of anything that we ask for. Only by God's grace do we ever get anything good in this life that we've received salvation when we called upon Him. When we ask for finances, or we ask for blessings, when we ask for different prayer requests in our lives, we are undeserving of everything that we ever ask for. It's only by God's, by Jesus Christ that we receive anything of the Lord. It's kind of like a check. You know, remember those things we used to use, things that kids used to learn, have to learn in math class, you know, before they graduate to learn how to write. You know, that check is pretty much worthless without that signature down there at the bottom. That signature makes that check valid. When we pray unto the Lord, we are not deserving of any, I'm not deserving of any prayer I've ever given to God, lifted up to God. But when I put in Jesus' name, It's kind of like signing that check, where that check now is validated, and now it's guaranteed for the amount in which it's asked for. That God says, well, if you ask in my name, if you'll ask in the name of Jesus Christ, that is worth answering. That is worth giving. And we have the power of prayer, that we are commanded to go, not only go, but go with power, saying, well, I can't serve the Lord. Why does God, I can't be a missionary. I can't be a pastor. I can't be a Sunday school teacher. I can't be a bus worker. I can't do that. That would be beyond me. God is given us the power. God is not going to call us to do it within which He has not equipped us or given us the ability or the tools in which to fulfill the job in which He has. So we can go with power, that we can go with prayer, that we have the ability to ask of the Lord and He will give it. We also have to go with progress. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 15. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They go forward. You know, you ever heard the saying, if we're not growing, we're dying? Because as a child, well, we grow up. And guess what? As an adult, every day, something's dying. We were talking about that today. I'm able to eat things that I never was able to eat as a younger person. And my sister-in-law, my wife, well, you're just growing up. I'm like, no, my taste buds are just dying. That now I can now eat things that once repulsed me as a kid. As we grow up, then we grow old. Guess what? They say at 30, 35, and 40, you know, you're kind of crested that hill, and I'm getting very, very close to the top. Then it's downhill from there. As I've talked and joked with others about the pains of the knees and the hips and the snap, crackle, and pops, I've had a lot of people look at me and just laugh. Said, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea what's in store. Kind of like almost saying it with that evil smile. as they're just smiling, saying, oh, and it's the way we are. Boy, I've had to do it. And guess what? You got to go through it too. But as we go, that if we're not growing spiritually, guess what? We're dying. If we're not going forward for the Lord, then we are backsliding. And God doesn't want us to stay where we're at. God wants us to grow in this spiritual life. God wants us to grow. And He's called us to be faithful. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 10, He's called us to be faithful. He's called us to be fruitful. God wants us to have fruit in our life. God does not want His children to be barren. He does not want His children to not have the blessings that obedience will bring. God has called us to not only go and to be and to go with power and to go with prayer, but also to go with progress. God has also, number four, called us to practice. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 37, it says, and He said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Of course, Jesus had just shared a story about who would be more thankful, the one who had been forgiven a little bit of debt or one who had been forgiven much. We see that Jesus had said, well, go and do thou likewise. Go and be merciful. Go and take what you've learned and put it to practice. You know, God has not given us His word so that we can just sit and say, well, that's great, this is going to be a blessing to me, and just keep it all to ourselves. God has called us to go and to share His word, and to, with that practice, you know, you ever heard the saying, boy, is that every member wants their preacher to practice what he preaches, right? Because there's nothing worse than have someone stand up and say one thing and do another. And the fact of practicing what you preach means that you're putting into place what's being taught or what's being said. As Jesus said, just finished the statement, said, well, go and do thou likewise. Go and put it to practice. James 1, 22, through 25, but I'm going to just read verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Got the one, you ever also heard the saying, the one doing the work is the one doing the learning? That once we hear the word of God, not just to hear it, but also to be a doer. Because in the doing of it, that's where the real learning takes place. I can have someone share something or instructions with me, but there's nothing quite like going through it myself. Saying, okay, you've explained it to me, now let me try it. Let me do it. Because that's when it really takes its place. Understanding that as we live this life, God has called us to go and practice what we've been taught. That your actions speak louder than words. So why I come to church every service and I hear the messages and I hear what you're saying, preacher. But let me tell you, if we don't go and practice it, how is it going to benefit the lost? How is it going to benefit this world? How is it going to benefit your coworkers in the fact that our actions speak louder than words? And our actions are like a living testimony. Because as a Christian, to be Christ-like, Christ was full of action. We should be full of action. And we should be going and practicing what we read in our devotions, what we hear that's being preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday school, and in between. We should be of action, of practice. Number five, we should also go with proclamation. Isaiah chapter 6 in the first part of verse number 9, it says, "And he said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed." Acts chapter 28 is a lot like that. In verse number 26, the first part of that verse says, "Saying, go unto his people and say, hearing ye shall hear." You know, the Bible does tell us what's in our heart, that our mouth will speak. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That what we contemplate on, where our heart's desires are, will come out. And we can know the heart of our children just by listening to what they talk about, what they say. Because the Bible is very clear, and what is in our heart will come out. And as we see with go with proclamation, if it's Jesus that's in your heart, why can't you proclaim it? Why is it that a Christian can go through their life without going and proclaiming the mercies and blessings of God? Why is it we can go throughout our day without sharing with a single individual of what God's doing in our life? How can we go through life without proclaiming? How can we go through life without telling the lost? He said, "Go ye, or go and tell his people, hear ye indeed." Oh, we need to go with proclamation. We need to go and to share the gospel with the world. So, oh, that's the preacher's job, or that's the deacon's job, or that's the Sunday school teacher's job. No, if you're saved tonight and you have Jesus Christ within your heart, that it's your job. It's all of our jobs to go with proclamation. We also are to go with perseverance. Perseverance. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 21, it said, "So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." You know, as we go with perseverance, that we are not to quit. This servant did not quit. He kept on going out and through the lanes of the streets of the city, then out to the highways and the hedges, out into the woods of the countryside, so that his master's house could be filled. You know, at what point in our life at the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to be acceptable to say to Jesus, or excuse or reason of why we quit serving him? Well, I know, Lord, we were supposed to serve you all the days of our life, and we were to be a living testimony, and I know that we were bought with the blood of you, but don't you understand that I had my own life, I had my own priorities, I had things going on that it just didn't work out in my life. What excuses are we going to give to Jesus Christ when we stand face to face? No excuse is going to work. You know, what task is too much for God? You say, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time in my day. I just can't fit it into my schedule. I can't serve the Lord or be a part of the ministry of the local church to serve God just because it's just too inconvenient with me. At what point, what task is too much for God? If we understand that every blessing, every opportunity, every day that we live, every breath that we breathe is from God. This morning I woke up, hit the floor, and boy, the first thing I prayed to the Lord, I said, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for giving me today. Because the alternative means I wouldn't have today. Because it came from the Lord. What is it that we give to God as excuses of why we can't continue serving him? What is it that causes Christians to serve the Lord for part of their life and all of a sudden just quit? No, there's got to be perseverance. We are to go with perseverance. We cannot stop we cannot stop trying to get that gospel to the outcast and to the needy. We cannot afford to quit. As the world is pushing harder and harder and harder to as hell enlarges itself, as Satan in his ways and his traps and his fiery darts and his snares, trying to engulf the lost, trying to deceive them with false religion, with false versions, all of that to try to deceive others in thinking that they truly are saved or on their way to heaven because they go to a certain church or because they just believe that there is a God, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ as the precious Son and Savior. There's the understanding, if the world's not going to quit, if Satan's not going to take a day off, then we as Christians cannot do so either. And the day is coming where we will not, where we'll be able to rest. The day is coming where we can retire for eternity and sit at Jesus' feet and to praise him and glorify him for eternity. But while we have time, there must be perseverance. There must be that determination that we will not and cannot quit for the cause of Christ. Go out into the highways. Now, lastly, Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 14. We must go with a presence. And he said in Exodus 33:14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee. As God was promising Moses, and I will give thee rest. Oh, we need the presence. We need to go with the presence of God. We will fail every time we try to go out in our own strength or in our own power. We must have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's a difference between being sealed of the Holy Spirit, being saved, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians are going around today that are sealed by the Holy Spirit. They're saved and on their way to heaven, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled with pride. They're filled with themselves. They're filled of own opportunities and worldly possessions. But understand, we must have the presence of God. We will not, we cannot go anywhere or do anything without His presence in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, it tells us that we don't go anywhere. That we think, well, it's too much for me to do. It's too hard for me to live the Christian life. Understand, we have the opportunity to have the presence of God everywhere. We have the promise that if we're saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That if we'll just yield to Him, He can guide us and direct us because we are a temple of the Holy Spirit if we're saved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you know for 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. Not because of your works, not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And you've accepted Him as your payment and your only way of heaven. The Bible promises us and tells us that we are a temple. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Every day we have the presence of God, and we are to go with the presence of God. And God will be with us forever. And with that promise, they say, well, I don't know if I can go and tell a stranger about Jesus. I don't know if I can go with power and with prayer. I don't know if I can go and progress in my life and to continue to grow and to practice what I've been taught and to practice what I've read and to go and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and to go and to proclaim the gospel. I don't know if I can go with perseverance. You can go because you have the presence of God. We don't need to fear the future. Why? Because we have the presence of God with us. Understand, as a Christian, we have the presence of God with us now. And when this life is over, as we face death, guess what? We will be in the presence of God. In a literal sense, because the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have the presence of God. It's easy to be a Christian in 2020. It's easy to share the gospel. It's easy to stand for right. It's easy to stand against the sin and wickedness of this world. Why? Because we have the presence of God. We can go with confidence because of this promise. And we can go through life accomplishing task after task after task of what God has for us. Going through the trials of our faith and going through obstacles and the storms of life. And we can persevere because we have the promise of His presence. And as we have been commanded to go, as the Great Commission starts with "Go ye," we are to go. That command is for you and that command is for me. There's things in which God has called us, and we can have confidence, we can have strength, because of the promises in which we find in Scripture. I don't know about you, but there's days where I feel inadequate. There's days where I feel like I don't have the ability. There's days where I feel like it's just too big of a task to get the gospel to the world, and boy, what, I'm just one individual, but I'm reminded God has called us to go. But He hasn't called us to go empty-handed. He hasn't called us to go powerless. No, He's provided power through His Word. He's provided power through prayer. He's provided power through His presence. All we have to do is proclaim and be persistent and to continue to faithfully serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to go and live my life for the Lord so that one day I can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know who's not going to hear that when they stand before Jesus Christ? The one who has not gone. The one who did not go. I hope that tonight we'd be encouraged and strengthened to face this week head on. To go and to proclaim. You say, "Well, everybody's wearing a mask. No one wants to talk to me because of the virus and everybody's scared of everybody." Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, we are commanded and proclaimed to go and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you tonight. And dear Lord, I know that